She said, "Mommy, can we leave now?" "No," her mother replied, "in the middle of church." "Well, I think I have to throw up." Little girl says, "And go out the front door and around the back of the church and throw up behind a bush." After about 60 seconds, the little girl returned to her seat. "Did you throw up?" Mommy asked. She said, "Yes, I did." "How could you have gone all the way to the back of the church and returned so quickly?" "I didn't have to go out of the church, Mommy. They have a box next to the front door that says, 'For the sick.'" Turning your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. We started learning a little bit last week about John the Baptist and where he got his name. His name was a heavenly name. It was given to him by God. We find out a little bit this week that his occupation came from God. God told him what to do. He delivered instructions on John. He gave him the authority to do the things that John was going to do. If you look at Luke chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 57. And let's start out with one more word of prayer. Brother Mark, could you lead us in prayer one more time, please?
Father, we love you today. We thank you now, Lord, for the opportunity we have together as Christian brothers and sisters. I pray, Lord, you'll bless now as we open thy word. Enlighten our eyes, God, with the truths and the help inside of it. Lord, may you be uplifted and glorified here today. We'll thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. In verse 57... it talks about Elizabeth. It says, "Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias." Now remember, we're talking about John here, but they were going to name the child Zacharias because that's what you did back in those days. We talked about that last week. You named the baby after the father. And they came forward and said, "We're going to name him Zacharias." And after the name of his father, in verse 60 says, "The mother answered and said, 'Not so, but he shall be called John.' And they said unto her, 'There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name.' And they made signs to his father how he would have him to be called." In verse 63 it says, "And he asked for a writing table and wrote." Understand, he's still not able to speak. Understand, they made him mute when they first told him he was going to have this child. He believed not, and because he didn't believe, the Spirit says, "You are not going to be able to talk now until your child is delivered." So he's still not able to talk. He asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, "His name is John." And they marveled all that he would go outside of that family name, go outside of any of his kindred's name. He would go outside any of those people just to name his son John. But there's a very important reason. He didn't have a choice in this matter because the Lord named his child. Just like the Lord named Jesus, Jesus, the Lord named John, John. You got to understand that. It's very important to understand the authority that John the Baptist comes with. Okay? The Lord gave him that name. Let's go on. "And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard him laid them up in their hearts, saying, 'What manner of child shall this be?'" Think about this for a minute. It sounds like they're talking about Jesus here. I mean, these are the same basic statements that they make about our Savior before his birth, and this is talking about the birth of John. Do you understand? Do you see what I'm trying to show you here? The comparisons that are made. Understand this. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that John is not Jesus. And John made sure he told everybody that he wasn't Jesus. But you've got to understand that John is, although he's not Jesus, he's from a miraculous birth. He was named by God, and he was announced by Gabriel. Those things are very, very similar. As a matter of fact, they're identical when it comes to talking about Jesus and John. John was the forerunner for Christ. He was the fellow that made the crooked path straight. He was the fellow that came announcing Jesus coming. He was the fellow that we grab our name from. John the Presbyterian, John the Methodist, John the Baptist. That's where we grab it from. Let's keep looking on here. In verse 67, "And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, 'Blessed be the Lord God.'" By the way, he didn't speak in tongues here, prophesying. Many people will tell you, well, as soon as you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you start speaking in tongues. That's hogwash. You can see right here, he was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied. He started preaching, amen? Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant to us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness. Boy, wouldn't you love to live in that day, where you could serve him without any fear? See, they lived in a time where you served God, you were killed for it. We don't live in that day. We live in a day where we get a door slammed in our face, we go home with our tail tucked between our legs saying, we can't do this anymore. Okay? Understand this. They served God, they were killed for it. Worked out great for them. Understand, we need to understand that we're not being persecuted and prosecuted like they were. We're not in those days. I hear a lot of preachers saying, we're coming close to those days. We're not close to those days. I mean, I'm not seeing anybody going up to any politicians and being killed for their faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? We can talk about it. Woe is me, woe is me. We can't go out and talk about our Lord because we'll get yelled at. Let me tell you something. He was hated way before we were. And we should be willing to talk about our Lord Jesus Christ no matter where we're at. We should be willing to witness, willing to go door knocking. We should be willing to do those things. We're not being persecuted as they were. It's not even the same map. Are you people sleeping this morning? I'm just wondering. That he would grant to us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. Not the highest. The prophet of the highest. The one that goes before. The prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Now, why in the world would they take a boy so very, very important, had such great acclamations put before him, so many great things this man was supposed to do, so many wonderful promises that were going to be fulfilled through this man, why in the world would they hide this man in the wilderness? Why would they take him there? Remembering Jesus. Why did Jesus have to flee? Why did they have to take Jesus out? Does anybody remember? Why they had to take Jesus out? Do you remember that? Jesus had to be taken out because any child 2 years and under was what? I wonder if John had to be moved into the wilderness to avoid that. I wonder if John had to be moved into the wilderness. Well, first of all, John had to be moved into the wilderness because the Lord told him that's what he's supposed to do. But understand, he was moved into the wilderness, I believe, to get out of that wrath. Get out of that because they were born 6 months apart. Amen? They were born 6 months apart, so they're basically the same age. What you've got to remember is this. Jesus had great plans for this John. He gave great authority to this John. We're going to learn a little bit more about this in a minute. And what he tried to show us through John is that there is a authority that he is going to pass down that could only be passed through one man, and that's Christ. And he passed that authority because he gave the authority to this man. This man was eventually going to be the man that started the baptism, that was the baptizer, but that wasn't just his occupation. He was the Baptist, okay, because he wanted to give name to that. And you say, well, Brother Dave, I just don't see in the scripture where it says First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. I'll agree with you. Do you think for 1 minute that they put their sign on a door what they believed? In America, we can put what sign we're Baptist, independent, fundamental, King James Bible. We can put all that on the door because nobody's coming in to take that away from us. Back in those days in Jerusalem, you hung Baptist on the sign that you believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you believed that you had to be baptized only after you got saved, that you believed that there was a King of Kings and Lord of Lords, not just Caesar, not just Herod, not just all of that. If you believe that, you were put to death. What you've got to realize is there were no buildings. I mean, there were homes that they had churches in. There were some places that they had church in. But understand, the temples and synagogues were for the pagan religions, for the Jewish religions of those days. They were for the people that did not adhere to what Christ had taught them. If you adhered to what Christ had taught you, you were slain for it. Take a minute and read. Well, take a minute. Take like 8 years and read the Martyr's Mirror. The Martyr's Mirror is full of people that adhere to what the Baptists believe. They adhere to what the biblical teachings are. And because of that, they were martyred. They were put to death. This was nothing new to them. And what we've got to understand, to put ourselves in the place where you got to think with me for a minute. In those days, any child, and you got to put yourself here, any child 2 years and under was put to death. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that the children 2 years and under were slain just for the happenstance that they may get the guy that was supposed to be the King of Kings? How wicked were the kings back then? How wicked were people back then? And it's amazing how God protected our namesake. How God made it so important that we learn of Him and that their lives. Think about this now. I read to you, look at it, even verse 80, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. They said the same thing about the Savior. And listen, their lives parallel each other because the Lord wants you to see how very important John the Baptist was. He wasn't our Savior. He was not. But He was the one that came before Him. He was the one that prophesied about our King of Kings. He was the one that could not loose the latchet of His shoe, yet still was so very important that Gabriel had to come announcing His birth. He had to come and tell the parents, this is what you're going to name Him, because this is what the Lord wants. This is the authority that God's going to start with. Turn to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, verse 1, now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, in the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene, Texas, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. Now, wait a minute, he's in the wilderness still. The word of God came unto John, saying, sick him. He came unto all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. He came into the country saying, listen to me, you little sacks of no good. Listen to me, you better start repenting of your sins. You better start realizing that you need a Savior. You better start realizing that the religion of this day is not going to save you. You better start realizing that there's nothing that we have today that's going to get your carcass to heaven. You better realize that you better repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's a pretty important job, being a loudmouth Baptist preacher. Tell me he's not. You just tell me what John the Baptist is. He was loudmouth. He came into the country telling everybody that they were doing wrong. And by the way, it took a little while for them to get to him to kill him. The Lord protected him for quite a while because John had a job to do. John had a job to do. When the job was fulfilled, they were able to take him. Jesus had a job to do. When his job was fulfilled, then Jesus was let taken. He wasn't taken by us. He was given of himself. Basically committing suicide for us. Basically. He gave of himself freely. John had a job to do. He went out into the wilderness and probably studied and learned. And I can't even imagine all the things that God showed him while he was out in the wilderness. I can't even imagine. But when he came, he had it in hand what he was supposed to do. He knew exactly what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to come and preach. And when he came and preached, people knew all about him. He changed lives, just like the Bible said he was going to do. He changed lives. Let's look at more of this. He came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet. This is chapter 40, verse 3, by the way, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled. Why, by the way, why did his paths have to be straight? because we had them all crooked.
Right.
And let me explain something to you. Very few churches today have his path straight. Very few churches have the path straight to salvation. Very few. Very few churches have he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life straight. Very few. Most people have he that hath the Son and baptism. That's a crooked path. He that hath the Son and beads. That's a crooked path. He that hath the Son and any other thing you want to add to it or take away from it hath life. No, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things I've written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. Now understand, John came in realizing that, look, I am surrounded by people in churches that do not know what they're doing. And he was the Baptist. Don't be ashamed of who you are. Don't be ashamed. And by the way, just because you're Baptist doesn't mean you have it down. A lot of Baptists get screwy on this kind of stuff. They get screwy on salvation. Well, you can't be a saved man if you're a murderer. Go talk to David about that. You can't be a saved man if you're an adulterer. Go talk to David about that. You can't be a saved man if... No, there's nothing that says in the Scripture you can't be a saved man, because whosoever will may come. What happens is we get high on our horse and saying, well, the light of God has obviously gone out in that young man. He's got no chance whatsoever. Scripture talks about his mind being reprobate. Obviously, he can't. We have no ability to know when the light is out in a person.
That's right.
We do not have that ability. So because we do not have that ability, we should pray for them that the light gets brighter in their life enough that they accept the Lord as their Savior.
Yeah.
Well, back in those days, if they were homosexual, they couldn't be saved. No, it's got nothing to do with that.
Right.
Nothing to do with that. See, making the crooked path straight is realizing that we're all on the same line. There's nobody better, nobody worse than anybody else in this room. If you are saved by the blood of Christ, you're saved by the blood of Christ. Doesn't matter your background.
Amen.
We'd love to say it matters to your background, because it certainly makes a whole lot more money if you add background to it. It does. Well, bless God, I'm going to make money here. I'm going to say, well, you know what, brother? I'll make sure you get to heaven if you give me $10,000. You laugh, but that's all over America. If you don't give money to my campaign, hey, send me $10 and I'll send you a prayer cloth. Why in the world would you worry about spending $10 on a prayer cloth when you just go to the throne yourself?
Amen.
Making the crooked paths straight. Telling the people, you need Christ. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. What are the fruits worthy of repentance? Godly sorrow. That's the fruit that worketh repentance. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. You are sorry that you're sorry. Bring that repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, so we're worthy of heaven. Doesn't matter who your daddy is. Everybody's got to be saved. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. It doesn't take you or your background. It just takes God, that's all. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? He answered and saith, by the way, how great would it be if you were preaching and people said, what do you want us to do, preacher? You tell us what you want us to do, preacher. You tell us what the Bible says, preacher. Sure, it'd be great if we would have that kind of attitude when we come to church, preacher. You tell us what to do, and bless God, we'll do it. And I'm not saying you start to worship your preacher, but you ought to worship the word that he preaches from.
Amen.
He answered and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also the publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. And the soldiers likewise demanded him, saying, and what shall we do? This is pretty good preaching. What shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. This wasn't preached in America. do violence to no man. We do violence to as many men as we can, it seems like. Do not accuse any falsely. Don't follow the elections. And be content with your wages. Who is happy with what they're making today? It's quiet in here. You know what we should do? We should realize that this verse, Jesus Christ is trying to tell you, hey, you better be happy you got a job.
Amen.
For the first time that since I've been alive, you better be thankful you've got a job. Because there just ain't that many out there. And the job that you have, do it as you would do it unto the Lord, and maybe they'll keep you.
Amen.
Because we live in a day and age where you're going to need that job. You're going to need that money. And it may not be enough, and you may not be getting paid what you're worth. And I know that there's people out there that are getting paid way more than they're worth. But boy, be happy with what you have, because that's what God has given you. And if you want more, then ask God for it. And maybe he'll give it to you. And maybe God's not giving it to you because you're not tithing off of it. How did that happen with John the Baptist? I guess when you're talking about Baptist preaching, you got to go to tithe sometime. See, what happens in our lives is we take what the Bible gives us that we like. Well, I like this part. He that hath the Son hath life. I like that part. Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. Well, I don't like that part so much because I don't like to come to church all the time. Can I get an amen? And I don't like the part where it says bring a tithe in, and if you're not bringing your tithe, then you're robbing God. Well, that doesn't sound right because you shouldn't be able to preach about the tithe. You're a preacher. You shouldn't talk about money. You should talk about preaching. This is good preaching. Here's what happens. We like to take, this is the only book that you can't take what you like and leave what you don't. It's the only book. The rest of them, take what you like, leave what you don't. Huck Finn, Tom Sawyer, all those books, take what you like, leave what you don't. When it comes to the scriptures, you can't do that. This is God's word, every word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So don't think for 1 minute that you don't have an every word Bible, and if you do, then every word in here means something to you. You can't just glean what you like. You can't do that. God is trying to tell you something, Christian. Obey him. That's all he desires from you. That's good stuff. He came out of the wilderness. I like this. I'm going to keep reading. This is good stuff. I don't care. And the soldiers likewise demanded him, saying, what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not. Now listen to me. I want you to see that. All men thought in their hearts, is this Christ? This is in verse 15 of chapter 3, and I want you to see this. All men thought in their hearts, is this man Christ? How much power was John preaching with if people couldn't discern whether he was Christ or not? How many? All of them. How much? All of it. They couldn't figure out whether this man was the Savior or not. And John answered, saying unto them, I indeed baptize you with water, because that's what I have been given the authority to do. I baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh. Thank God John knew his place. One mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. There's only two places. You're either going to get saved or you're going to go to hell. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost, or he's going to baptize you in fire. The choice is yours. Whose fan is in his hand. And he will thoroughly purge his floor. And will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. Let me tell you something about Jesus Christ. He's a loving God. He's a caring God. He's one that desires for us to be close to him. And he's all those things, and I'm so thankful that he is. But he's also a holy God, a righteous God, one that stands there with a fan in his hand, understanding that if you don't accept him as your Savior, you will go to hell and burn forever. And you can't get away from that. And John is begging the people. believe in him today. Because when this man comes and you don't believe in him, you'll be baptized. But it's going to be in hell. See, what we got to come to grips with is this. We can patty cake with salvation all we want. We can try to make it okay. But when you come to grips with the fact that if a person doesn't get saved, they go to hell, that is the bottom line, folks. That is really where it's at. If a person doesn't get saved, they go to hell. And we talk all the time about men bragging on their numbers, bragging on how many. And I'm telling you, I used to be in that crowd. Oh, you're just bragging. I'm telling you, I lead somebody to Christ, I'm excited.
Amen.
And I'm excited not because of the numbers. It's different. And I never knew it until I got to the point of where I wanted to lead somebody to Christ. It's not the numbers, folks. It's the souls.
Amen.
It really is the souls. I don't care how many numbers. I don't care if somebody comes to me and says they want 100. I'm so thankful that they want 100 because those are people that are not going to hell.
Yes.
What we have done, Christian, in this life and back in John the Baptist's day, what we have done is we've put everything on a human platform.
Right.
If we can't see it, it must not be. If we can't feel it, it must not be. Well, their motive's not right. Their thoughts aren't right. Understand this. John came into this life with no motive. John came into this life, he lived in the wilderness eating wild honey. He came with a leathern girdle. He was not somebody that was put up in the posh hotels. He was not one of those preachers that are sought after that we have to take care of so well when they come through. No, he was John the Baptist, a wild man. Coming through and preaching Christ, realizing that the only other avenue is hell, making the crooked path straight. There's only one road that you're on. You either go to heaven or you turn around and go to hell. But both paths are straight, brother. There's no going off the path. When it comes to eternity, there's only one road. You're standing on it. When you're living here, you're standing in a place that you can make the few steps and go to heaven, or you can make the few steps and go to hell, but there is no, the road is straight. There's no turnoffs. There's no rest areas. And John was trying to explain to them, look, accept this man that comes, that's coming after me, who's amazing, who's wonderful, who's perfect, who's great. He's our Savior. Jesus worked very diligently and very meticulously to send us John. Would you not agree? And it's amazing that he used the name John the Baptist. And I'm not ashamed of that. And it's amazing that John was the man that had authority to do these things. He had the authority to baptize. People from all over came to him. One very special person came to him. And his name was Jesus. And Jesus walked all the way to John. And I'm just going to talk to you for a minute. I want to use your common sense button. Back in those days, they didn't have cable cars. They didn't have motorcycles. They walked or rode horses. Jesus walked. 60-plus miles to get to the man who Jesus eventually says to, John, please baptize me so that all righteousness may be fulfilled. John, please baptize me. And John, when Jesus got there, John said, whoa, Lord, please. He knew, and I'm so thankful he knew, and you, bless God, you ought to know. Lord, I'm not worthy to baptize. You should be baptizing me. I shouldn't be baptizing you, God. Please, Lord, I understand. I am not, Lord, I know who you are. When you came, you were still in your mother's womb. I knew who you were. And Lord, I've been about your business ever since I've been here, and I know that I'm not worthy. I wouldn't have, God, that you'd come to grips with you're not worthy. And Jesus comes and John says, Lord, please, I cannot have me baptize you. You've got to baptize me. And the Lord says, no, John, please baptize me that all righteousness may be fulfilled. Because, John, I've given you the authority to baptize me. That should raise your eyebrows, folks. I've given you the authority to baptize me. And you say, well, Brother Dave, I can't get that out of the Bible. You're right, and you never will. What you've got to understand is this. Jesus put this man, and I know baptism is a minor, and it really is, because baptism does not get you to heaven. It does not. But I find it very, very interesting that after the baptism by the correct authority, after the baptism by the correct authority, Jesus began his ministry. After the baptism of walking 60 plus miles to get to the man who he gave authority to baptize. And understand, he gave him his name, he gave him his occupation, he told him when he was going to come, he told him what to preach. And when he finally got to the point where he was baptizing people, multitudes came to him. One name, Jesus, came to him. And when after he was baptized, God said from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, because he has done that which I told him to do by the authority that I've told him to have." Jesus came up out of the water and his ministry began. You might say, well, Brother Dave, I just don't know. There's a reason in any church, I don't care what church it is, any church, to join the church, you must have baptism. The vast majority of churches require that you have their baptism. We're no different. Because although it is a minor, although it is not something that's going to keep you out of heaven or get you into heaven, it's still a matter of obedience. And the Lord makes a big deal out of it. The Lord makes a big deal out of it in His Scriptures, a big deal. And He wanted us to see how big of a deal it was to be Baptist. Because he was baptized by one named John the Baptist, not John the Baptizer. And by the way, you think, well, Brother Dave, that was just his occupation. That's why they call him the Baptist. Really? Then turn over to Acts and find out why Philip's not called the Baptist. Because Philip baptized too. And I believe Philip was a Baptist, but not the Baptist. See, what happens is this. We say because of the fact that you don't see First Baptist Church of Jerusalem in the Bible, that it's not in there. Understand this. There was no other church at the time that could be called by this name because Jesus was the one that founded that church. And like I said before, if you hung that name on the doorpost, you were killed. What we've got to come to grips with is there is a true strain of church. And we love to sit there and say there isn't. Because it's so much easier to preach that there's not a true church that Christ started. But boy, it just seems to me that he took awfully good steps to make sure that we knew that there was. By having this man a miraculous birth. And by the way, John the Baptist's life, his birth, his ministry, it really paralleled our Savior. Really paralleled in a lot of ways. I know he wasn't the Savior. I understand that. He was born of sinful people. I understand that. But it was still a miraculous birth announced by Gabriel. All those things. And he ended up giving him his name and he called him John the Baptist. And he was baptized by him to start his Baptist church. What's amazing to me is that many people don't see that. In Matthew 11:11, I want to show you something else. When you look over at Matthew, verse 7, I'll start. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, "What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind?" No, they want to hear this man who was preaching with power that they couldn't understand where he was getting this power and authority from. They couldn't understand every time the man spoke, like he was speaking the words of God. He was so great that they couldn't discern whether he was Christ or not. What, did you go out there to see a reed shaken with the wind? But what went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? No. Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in the king's houses. But what went you out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." Pretty important fella. He was in prophecy. Do you see what I'm trying to tell you here? He was in prophecy in the Old Testament. Isaiah 40, verse 3. "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist." Jesus is saying this. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Because everything gets flip-flopped in heaven. We strive so hard for recognition here, but up there you get less. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. Telling people, look, the prophecy's been fulfilled. This is the man that came with that power. This is the man that came with the power to preach unto you. This is the man that came with the power to tell you who I am. This is the man that came with the power to make the crooked path straight, to turn the people's faces back to me. This is the man that came preaching holiness and repentance unto you. This is that man. And you took his head off. This is the man. When Jesus heard of his death, he tried desperately to get apart. He tried desperately to get apart. I just wonder, Brother Mark, I wonder if Jesus was trying to get apart so he could have a talk with him. Think about that for a minute. Jesus isn't bound by this earth. I thought for a minute, I wonder if Jesus was trying to get a hold of John. Say, man, buddy, thank you so much for doing a great job while you were here. You did everything I asked you to do. Couldn't get away from the multitudes. Multitudes followed him into that mountain place apart, followed him. And the next place he went, he had compassion on them, said, I see you. Please, I'm going to feed you. I'll take care of you. It's amazing that the next place it goes to is on the sea. And remember the sea being tossed, and Jesus comes walking out of the water. The waves are being tossed. Waves are everywhere. Now, this is completely not in the scripture, but I want to ask you a question just to think with me for a minute. Jesus, not certainly in his human body, I wonder if he was just a little upset that his buddy John, his cousin John, was killed, beheaded, for a dancing woman. For a look of pornography. I wonder if he was happy about that. He's probably pretty upset about that. He walks out into the sea and the waves and the winds are contrary. I just wonder if Jesus' mood was a little bit off that day because his cousin was killed. I understand Jesus knew the beginning and the end. I understand that. But you know what's amazing to me? Throughout all the things that Jesus was going through with John, throughout all those things, John, by the way, for a minute, is Christ really coming? While he's in jail, was it really Christ? I'm suffering here. Was it really Christ? Christ sent word back to John, hey, let me tell you something. The blind are being healed. The lame are being healed. It's me. And I think John knew. Thank God I did what I was supposed to do. Well, you've got to understand, you've got a fantastic heritage. You've got a fantastic heritage that started with a heavenly announcement. This is John. I'm naming him John the Baptist. Not John the Baptizer, although that's what he did. Our name starts with John and Jesus Christ naming him John. Our church was founded in our Savior. What you got to realize is our church is founded with Jesus Christ. Why would you be ashamed of our Savior? Why would you be ashamed of? No other church can make this claim. No other church can make the claim that they follow the Bible perfect to the letter. No other church can say that. We look in the Scriptures and that's our only authority. It's not our final authority. It's not the authority we go to when we don't have the answers ourselves. That is our only authority. The only thing we go by is our Bible. Thank God. We've got to understand who John the Baptist was, to realize where our name came from and be thankful that they fought for that name all throughout history. Would we be willing to fight for it today? Just a thought. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the ability to be here, Lord, and I thank you for just giving me the moment to teach you about John the Baptist. What a miracle child he was, and Lord, it was very, very neat that you named him that. Lord, I'm so thankful that I'm in that true strain of church. Lord, being brought up as a child, I wasn't taught these things. And Lord, I'm thankful that you directed my life here. I'm thankful that you directed my life back to the Scriptures, Lord, to learn about you in the Bible. Not worry about what man has to say, but worry about what your Bible has to say, Lord. I'm so thankful for that. Lord, let our people understand that being a Baptist is a good thing. It's not a bad word, it's a good word. And we're so thankful that John the Baptist did his job and was obedient unto death. Lord, please be with us in a special way today. Let us have a great preaching service. Anoint my preacher's lips today. Give him exactly what you'd have him to tell us. And Lord, be with us in a special way as we learn more about being Baptist. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.